kind of chuckling on my drive in here this morning. I was like, oh, it's April 14th. Guess what tomorrow is? I know. It's the 15th. And I thought, well, if you're not here, we know you're at your dining room table. Yeah, finishing your taxes. And I know firsthand, Jack was notorious. I can do this. I can do this. And then it's the 14th. And it's the 15th. And he's finishing his taxes. And I was like, just do the extension. No, we're going to do the taxes. So right around, I don't know what time. One time it was almost dark because the old post office on George Street, y'all know where that was on George Street? That was the post office. It's so beautiful, it really is. So he would go to my kids, hey, who wants to go with Dad? And it was like going to Hershey Park. So my kids would pile in the car with Dad, and they drive down George Street, and they had post office workers standing in the middle of the street, and they'd go, and you'd pass it on. My kids thought this is what everybody did. So, funny story. I go to a lady, and I go like in February, praise the Lord, amen. So, Father, we just pray for those that are hitting the dining room table. Father, I pray peace, I pray wisdom, Lord, for them, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's pray also. Father God, put your hand on your heart. With the other hand up, Father, I thank you that I have ears to hear words today from you, to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here we go. We have been studying a series on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Some of you are like, really? I didn't know that. I've been doing it for a month. That's okay. We love you, because I'm going to do a little review, okay? So Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, he's teaching his disciples. He's teaching his disciples. Who are his disciples? Well, former tax collectors and fishermen. And you know, when you think about it, there were no superheroes in the 12 guys. They weren't, you know, all over the billboards. They're just ordinary people. And you, if you've asked Jesus and you're walking with Jesus, you are now a disciple. We're just ordinary people. We're disciples of Jesus. So Jesus is teaching his disciples. So tune in. He's teaching us, all right? And we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Just a little background. I decided we're going to split it up into four sections. But this monster book that I was reading, they have like 25 sections. And I'm like, no, we're going to go with four. Okay, so four sections in understanding the Sermon on the Mount. So far, we've done two. Our first section was the Beatitudes. Everybody say, oh, yes, Pastor D, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, sure you do. Okay, so the Beatitudes, Jesus is teaching them, and he says, hey, if you want to be my disciple, you have to be a peacemaker, right? So if you want to be a disciple, you have to be a peacemaker. How many of you know, once you leave church, you're still to be a peacemaker? Like when you go to work, you should be a peacemaker. When you're in your family with your kids, everybody say peacemaker. Yes, you are. We also learned the Beatitudes, because we probably did 4 weeks on that. They start with salvation, and they end with, oh my goodness, you're going to get persecuted for your salvation. So they start with you receiving Jesus, and then you're going to get persecuted, all right? Last week we did section two. We said we are the salt of the earth, we are the light, and we learned Jesus says, hey, if you lose your saltiness, you're really ineffective in the plans or in the kingdom of God. So we don't want to be without salt. Amen? All right, today we're going to start number three. That was my quick review. Today you can write on your notes how to be great in God's kingdom. How to be great in God's kingdom. Okay, how many of you are interested in being great in God's kingdom? Okay, it's not being great on the earth, it's being great in God's kingdom. So he's going to start telling his disciples, so here we go. And I'm going to go from a little different angle. So how to be great, but I want to attack it from this way. Everybody say the law. Is it good or bad? Okay, because we get that straight, we can figure out how to be great in God's kingdom. So the law, is it good or is it bad? Now, if you're new to church, And I remember being new to church. I didn't know any of this. I had no clue what the law was, all right? And really, in my denomination, and actually the denominations that a lot of you grew up with, you probably didn't know the law either, all right? I just went to church. I didn't know anything about that. And then I accepted Jesus, and I found out, oh my gosh, I have been living under the law. Like, what? So we'll get into that. So here's my question. Is the law good for a Christian, or is the law bad for a Christian? And you know, some people say, we should go back under the law. As Christians, we should be under living under the law. And there's others that say, no way, Jose. Okay? Let's just even take the Old Testament, the Old Covenant out of our Bible. Now, both of those are wrong, and we're going to find out what Jesus says about that. But let me tell you just a little bit why that's kind of flawed, okay? It's actually really dangerous, because I don't know about you, but if you were new to church, like I was new to church, you would not have known about creation unless you read Genesis. So if you rip out the Old Testament, the law, you would not have known that. All right, here's another one. Now, if you're new to church, or don't get mad at me. I'm just going to tell you a few things. Just keep smiling, all right? But you may never have known, unless you read the Old Testament, that marriage is between a man and a woman. It's in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, in the law, okay? Now, here's another one. Without the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the law, you would not have known that when a mom gets pregnant with a baby, it's alive. I know the world and the culture says, no, it's just some funky little embryo. Nope, your Bible actually in the Old Covenant says it's what? Alive. All right. So all of a sudden you're like, whoa, you know, we could just do without the Old Testament stuff. Okay, no, the Old Testament is good for some things. It really is. It's good, and it's not to be torn out or thrown out. Now, if you're younger, I love all my younger people that come here. You're so cute. Or maybe you're older. We're so cute. Okay, and you were schooled in this, and this is what you're seeing, you have been seeing for really 50 years, that you don't need your Bible at all. Let's just chuck the whole thing out. Forget about half. Let's just get rid of the whole thing. Okay? Now, that's the world will say a lot. That's what the world's saying, all right? But here's the thing, and this is not my opinion. I didn't write this, but listen to this. The Bible literally says that a man will marry a woman, and they'll leave father and mother, and they'll cleave. And that word cleave is to glue so tight you can't tear it apart. Okay? So Jesus comes along. And he talks about some of that stuff in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the interesting thing, and it took me a while to go, oh, yeah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is still really the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the laws. He's talking to people under the law, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not till Jesus dies and rises again that we've got this whole new stuff going on, okay? So he says to Moses about this marriage thing, he says, you know, Moses says you can get a divorce, matter of fact, just write a piece of paper. That was what Moses says now, because everybody's just doing it. And he says, no, just write a piece of paper. And Jesus comes along and says, yeah, Moses says that, but I'm going to give you a little something extra, okay? So the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the law, we still need it. We still need it. Now, sometimes you think, oh, man, the law is so harsh. The law is so hard. Oh, my gosh. Well, listen to this. Jesus takes the standard of the law, all the law, okay, and he raises the standard up for us to live. The law was like here, and Jesus going, oh no, baby, I'm going to make it this big, this high. So Jesus raises the standard for us to live. Open up your Bibles, let me show you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. I know you're so interested in this. You're just oozing over here. Okay, Matthew 5, 17. This is Jesus speaking, red letter. Ready? Do not think that I came to destroy. Everybody say destroy. Destroy. The law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So if you were like me and you came from a background, I didn't know anything about the law. I didn't know anything about this. And this Bible of yours, this Bible, the first five books in the Bible are the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's called the law, the first five books. And then we have the books of the history, the books of wisdom and poetry, and then the books of the prophets, okay? So the first five books are the law, okay? So we're talking about the Old Testament and the law, okay? And I really think, could you just get in your mind that we need the whole thing? Like, you need the whole thing. And I'm going to show you some more. But here's the crazy thing. There are churches today, on the New Testament side, today, that they're like, you know what? I'm just going to rip part of this out. You know, I don't believe in this Holy Ghost thing, so I'm going to rip that out of the Bible. And I don't believe this, so I'm going to rip that out. And I don't believe this, and I'll rip that out. Well, why am I saying all that? I am not going to rip anything out of the Bible. Matter of fact, there was so much, and still today, really, of things I don't understand, but I'm not ripping it out. All right? So I'm not going to rip it out. I'm going to, I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe the whole Bible, cover to cover, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Amen? Amen. We need the whole Bible. So, question, is the law good or is the law bad? Okay, back to Matthew 5. We're going to pick up in verse 18. For this is Jesus, for surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away. Has heaven and earth passed away? Some days it feels like it, you know, the eclipse is going to pass. Okay, keep reading. One jot or little tittle will by no means pass from, okay, so jot and tittle, this is the Hebrew language, this is a little word, this is a little strike there, okay? So not one jot or tittle will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. Keep reading, verse 19. Whoever therefore breaks one of these least of these commandments, the law, and teaches men so or to do so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever teaches and does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of God. Do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Yes. Okay. Okay. So Jesus said, then don't take the law out. That's really what he's saying. Now, you understand, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is talking to people who are living under the old covenant, under the law, right? Now, we don't live under the law, but, okay, we don't live under the law, but we're not going to throw it out. And if you were to come to me and say, Pastor D, you know, last year I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior, and I'd say, are you under the law? No, you're not under the law. No, never, not under the law. But it doesn't mean we throw it out, okay? So then it says, I fulfill the law. Oh, yeah, let me think. Let me jump here. So I'm not going to throw this out, but it says, I will fulfill the law, and Jesus tells us by doing one thing. One thing. And actually, every single day, I fulfill the law by doing one thing, all right? Some of you are like, oh, tell me what the one thing is. Okay? But every single day, you can fulfill the law by doing one thing, and a whole bunch of you are doing the one thing. So, let's go back to verse 17. Here we go. Verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy, abolish, overthrow the law. This is Jesus, or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, abolish, or overthrow the law, but to fulfill it. So, Jesus left heaven, came to earth to do what? To fulfill the law, not to throw it away. Jesus says this, and the Apostle Paul says this. He says, and if you do this one thing, you will fulfill the law. All right? So what is it? Well, okay, I'll tell you in a minute. All right? But this is what I love about the new covenant. You just have to do one thing to fulfill the law. All right? Now, I did not know this, and maybe you know this, but in the law, in the covenant, the old covenant, the law, all that, did you know there's 613 laws, commandments? 600, and you have to do all of them to fulfill it. 600. And I'm sitting here thinking, I think I might still remember 10 commandments, but 613? Whoo! All right, 613. And you know what Paul said? You know what Jesus said? He said, there's one thing you can do and you fulfill all the 613. Praise God. All right, isn't that awesome? Just one thing. How many like it simple? One thing. All right, well, I'll tell you in a few minutes. So, but here's the deal. You don't throw away the old covenant. You don't throw away the old laws, okay? You don't throw away what it says, because this is what will happen. And I've heard people say this, and I'm pretty sure I said it a long time ago too. But you know, well, I don't, you know, should just get rid of that old covenant. Well, you do that, and here's what happens. You'll start saying, well, I've been redeemed from the law. No. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. Yeah, but I've been redeemed from the law. Nope, you've been redeemed from the curse. You still live under the standard of the law. All right? So, I've been redeemed from all that stuff. Now, what are you redeemed from? Guess what? You don't have to go out and kill a lamb. Like today, you know, you got your cute little lamb and he lives in your yard and you feed him and they're so cute and he's getting big. Sorry, Leslie. And then he gets really big and you go, uh-oh, sorry, buddy, today's your day. I have to go kill him for sacrifice for my sins. That was the old covenant. How many of you are glad you are not living under the old covenant? Oh, you animal lovers, come on, get your hands up here. I don't want to look at their face and kill them either, so really. But so we don't live under the law, but listen, the Old Testament, the law, it says, hey, you shouldn't commit adultery, right? Okay? And you go, yeah, but I'm redeemed. I live under the new covenant. I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want. No. Pastor Sherry and I'll be after you. No. Write this down. What is grace? Ready? Grace empowers you to live like Jesus. Grace empowers you to live like Jesus. Grace is an empowerment to live the way Jesus lived when he was on the earth. So, grace does not say, oh, I can go sin. I can sin. I can do whatever I want. No, okay? Grace empowers you to overcome sin. Everybody say, overcome sin. Amen. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to read you some quotes. You know, I love to dig out these books where he's got these really smart guys, these Bible scholars. Okay, so I'm going to read them. Just smile at me. You can tell I didn't write this, but it's so good. Just listen. Okay. So, I'm going to give you quotes by this guy, W. Perkins. He's a Bible scholar. He's got so many pieces of paper on his wall. But first, let me say this. We're going to talk about how Jesus fulfilled the law. Fulfilled means to accomplish, complete, and to carry through. So he writes how Jesus completed, accomplished the law. Three things he did. Number one, here we go. First, Christ fulfilled the law by his doctrine, both by restoring it to it its proper meaning and true use, and by revealing the right way in which the law may be fulfilled. We'll get into that in a few minutes. Just go, Pastor, that was so impressive, all those big words. Second thing Jesus fulfilled in the law, ready? In his person, both by performing perfect and perpetual obedience unto its precepts, and by suffering its penalty, enduring death upon the cross for his people. Okay. How many of you are glad Jesus died on the cross? We just celebrated Easter, right? He died on the cross. Now, he didn't just die on the cross, and he didn't just stay in the grave. He was the only one that was raised from the grave. I had a little kid do this. They are so smart downstairs. Yeah, Pastor D, but what about Lazarus? I was like, oh, Jesus raised him from the dead. Okay, a little different here. But Jesus went into the grave. He was there 3 days and three nights. He paid the penalty in hell for your sins, for my sins, okay? And then when the penalty was paid, he was taken out of the grave so that you and I could have eternal life, so you and I can have a relationship restored to God, so you and I can say heaven is my forever. That is why. So how many are glad that he did that? All right. So what he did proved that he was the Son of God. And you know what the Roman soldiers said after he was crucified and died? They go, oh, surely he was the Son of God. So the reason why he fulfilled all the Old Testament, okay, is to show us I needed a Savior, to show you you needed a Savior, all right? And the law showed us that you could never do all 613 of them. That's what the law said. And he said, you needed a Savior. Amen? And who did he come for? Well, he asked that question. He says, I didn't come for the well. I didn't come for those who don't need a physician. I came for those that are unhealthy, those that are unrighteous, those that are far from God, those that are hurting. He said, I came for them, okay? How many of you are glad that Jesus came for you? Amen. All right. So the third thing Jesus fulfilled, here we go. Let me read my... The third thing he fulfilled was in men, that's us, in the elect by the imparting of faith to their hearts so that they lay hold of Christ who fulfilled it for them by giving them the Spirit by which imparts to them love for the law and sets them on endeavoring to obey it. Okay, see that word obey? There's a cute little song we do in children's ministry. O-B-E-Y. Okay, but I'm not going to sing it. So I want to go touch on this because you can read that and think I have to obey 613 of them. All right? Well, you don't. All right? But guess what? I don't even know 613 of them. I'm not even sure if I can do the 10 of them anymore. Okay? I got probably about 5 of them down here. Okay? But listen, I don't need to know 613 of the laws, those commandments. All right? Well, Pastor D, don't you think you should learn them? No. Everybody go, no. Okay? You know why? Because the Bible says, I will fulfill all by doing one thing. One thing, all right? So, do I have to learn 613 of them? No. I'm just going to find out that one thing, and then I fulfill all of them. And I'm going to help you do that. All right, let me show you something else that Jesus says. It's really an important part. Turn over to Matthew. We're in Matthew 5. Jump down to verse 21. Matthew 5:21. And we're going to get into 21, that verse, later in the series. But just this part, listen to this. Jesus is speaking. He says, you have heard, that's because of Moses, right? You have heard that it was said of those of old that you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. Verse 22, but I say, everybody say that out loud, but I say. All right, jump down to verse 27. Jesus is talking. You have heard that it was said by those of old, the law, the old covenant, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, everybody say that, but I say. All right, we're going to talk about more of that stuff in a few weeks, okay? Verse 31, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife and let him give her a certificate of divorce. Everybody, but I say. All right, if you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus said, the law says blank, 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 and then, but I say blank, 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 okay? So he proceeds to raise the standard of living higher than the law, not lower than the law, higher than the law. But I say is he is raising the standard for us to live up here, all right? Now, Jesus said, under the old covenant, you have permission to go get a divorce. He said that under the old covenant. And then he says, but I'm going to tell you something different. There's only one reason, but I say, all right? And then murder. Jesus says, you know, in the old covenant, it says not to murder, right? And then Jesus says, but I'm going to tell you something a little crazy. He says, you can think a thought up here, and it's just like you physically murdering somebody by your thoughts up here. Sure gets quiet in this place. Okay. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you a standard higher than the law. Praise God. All right. Now, we don't have to live under the law, but we're going to have a standard by just one thing. All right. Turn over to Romans chapter 3, verse 30. Romans chapter 3, verse 30. Romans 3, verse 30. This is the Apostle Paul. He's talking to church people. All right. He goes and he says this, there is only one God and he makes people right with them, with himself by faith, by receiving Jesus, by faith, whether they are Jew or Gentile. He's talking about salvation, right? Okay, next verse, 31. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does that mean we can forget about the law? He's asking a question and now he answers it. Ready? Of course not. Everybody, Of course not. Okay, so he's saying, of course not. You can't forget the law. The law is still important, all right? And, you know, Jesus quotes the Old Testament, the law, and then Paul quotes the Old Testament, the law, in his writing in the New Testament. Okay, so let's keep reading. Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. So Paul's saying this, just in essence, he says, one way that we fulfill the law is by receiving Jesus. That's one way. But there's others, okay? It doesn't end there. So here's my question. What's my question? Is the law good or is the law bad, all right? This is what Bible scholars write about the law. The law of God was given to Moses, and it is a comprehensive set of guidelines to ensure that Israel's behavior reflected the status as God's chosen people. So God gave Moses the law to give to the children so they would look like and they would act like, oh yeah, you guys are children of God, I can tell. That is why the law was given, all right? Now, you and I don't have to live under 613 of those commandments, okay? But when we accept Jesus, we start fulfilling the law. First step. Let's do the second step, okay? Turn to Luke 24, verse 44. First step, you receive Jesus. But listen to this. Luke 24, 44. Jesus said this. Okay, Jesus was dead, he's risen, he's talking to his disciples, he's hanging out with his disciples, he's already risen from the dead. This is what he says. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Okay, so here's what I want you to get. Ready? It was murder in the old covenant, it's still murder in the new. It was adultery in the old covenant. It is still adultery in the new. It was stealing in the old covenant, and it's still stealing. All right? Some of you are like brand new to church and go, man, Pastor D, that Jesus gets into the nitty-gritty. Yeah, he does. Okay? Everything he raises to a higher level. All right? So, in the old covenant, it's stealing. Is not good. And you're like, Pastor D, I don't steal. I don't even go to work and steal. Okay, just smile at me. Yeah, but maybe you go to work and you don't really work when you're at work. Guess what? You're stealing from the place you work. Okay, moving on. So, we're doing this all day, right? Okay, so as followers, a man or woman can be at work, could be someplace, okay, and they're looking at the opposite sex. Ready? And the Bible says they're committing adultery just by the thoughts in their head. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Jesus said that, not Moses. So you can have thoughts up here that are thinking wrong thoughts, and he's saying it's just as bad as adultery, right? So I didn't commit adultery, Pastor D. What's going on up here, all right? All right, let's read Matthew 5:18 now. Matthew 5:18, moving right along, praise the Lord. Matthew 5:18, Jesus says this, for surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, it hasn't, we're still here, not one jot or tittle will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. I want to read this out of the New Living Bible. If you guys want an easy read Bible, that's really the Greek in there and the Hebrew. This is a good one, okay? Matthew 5:18, New Living. I tell you the truth, Jesus is talking, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose has been achieved. So what Jesus is doing, he says, I'm going to get to the nitty-gritty. Even though Moses says, hey, you know, don't commit adultery. He says, I'm going to get there, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to take it further by what you think. Okay? That's what it says. So really what's happening is Jesus starts speaking to your heart. Speaking to your heart. You should write that down. Jesus speaks to your heart, and it's not just the actions. Well, yeah, the actions are wrong, okay? Don't go stealing and murdering and adultery, okay? The actions are wrong, but he starts touching your heart. He touches your heart, okay? So how do you fulfill the law, okay? Turn to Galatians 5. How do you fulfill the law? Anybody want to know how to fulfill the law? Bet you some of you know. Galatians 5:14. This is the Apostle Paul writing, okay? Now remember, Jesus used the Old Testament. Paul used the Old Testament in his writings in the New. Listen to what he says. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I count it. Those are seven words. That wasn't one word. I'm like, what? Okay. One word. Well, Bible scholar says that one word is love. Give me the love. Come on. All right. So how do you fulfill the law? Fulfill the law, not 613. Love people. Love God. Love God. Love people. Love people like Jesus loved people. That's how you fulfill the law. Easy peasy. Yeah. Yeah. All right. But Pastor D, I can't. Pastor D, I can't. That person is of a different political persuasion. There is no way I can love them. I cannot. Period. End of sentence. All right? Well, listen, there's some misunderstandings here. I can love you, okay, even though you have a different belief that I think and I know is wrong, okay? It doesn't mean I agree with you, but everybody say, I will love you, all right? And I'm telling you, the culture and the society that we're living in, is they got this all messed up. Because if you dare say, I have a stance, I believe that abortion is wrong. I believe when a woman has conception, that child is alive. I believe that. Okay, they come out at you and they go, you're crazy. You're one of those crazy people. You're those crazy conservatives. Blah! Right? Okay, listen. I have a stance that's based on the Bible. Period. Right? And it doesn't mean I don't like you. It doesn't mean that I hate you. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. I have a stance that's based on the Bible, and I am not going to change what the Bible says, period. But I will love you. Everybody say, I will love you. All right. Okay, turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Romans 8:3. Woo! Romans 8:3. This is the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul quoted a lot of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the law, in his New. But listen to what he says. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, that means our lower nature, okay? God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. So, Jesus left heaven. He came to earth in a body, just like you and I, right? All right, the next part of three. He condemns sin in his flesh that the righteousness requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So here's what he's saying. The day you receive Jesus, Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need you to forgive me of my sins. I accept you into my life. The day you do that, and if you walk and determine to walk led by the Spirit, okay? If you do that, you will fulfill the law. Yep, you will fulfill the law when you love people who are not lovely. You will fulfill the law when you love people that are just off an outfield. In what they believe, okay? You will love them when they think differently. You will love people. Okay, so what are you doing when you love people? I fulfill the law. I don't have to do 613, just that one thing, all right? Now, turn back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Matthew 5, verse 19. Jesus, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men to do so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever teaches them to live these commandments, he shall be called great in the kingdom. So, how do I become great in God's kingdom? How do you become great in God's kingdom? Did I say you agree with somebody whose beliefs are against the word of God? No. Did I say that I just sort of agree with them? No. Okay? But I will love them because Jesus said to love them. I will love them like Jesus, okay? Now, I don't go up to them and go, I love you. I just love you. Yay, whoopee. Even though I totally disagree with you and you're off your rocker. Don't say that. Just go love people. Come on. Okay. The Bible says this. I didn't say this, okay? Jesus said this. The law is fulfilled, those 613 done, fulfilled, when you love people like Jesus loved them, all right? So, here's my question. Is there something you need to do to make an adjustment in your heart? Okay, I'm going to look down over here. Okay, because if you want to be great in God's kingdom, okay, how many want to be great in God's kingdom, okay? So we're going to love people. What? Jesus, why do you have to teach this? Why do we have to love people? Like, are you wasting paper? Well, let me tell you why. Write this down. Ready? As a follower of Jesus, one who has believed that Jesus Christ is your Savior, I am a Christian, I am a follower of Jesus, you are now a bridge from those in the world to the kingdom of God. Everybody say, I'm a bridge. Yeah. You're a bridge. You want someone to come into the kingdom of God, you want them to have a relationship with Jesus, you got to be a bridge. And the bridge is love. Okay, that's the bridge. Okay? So, go back to Romans chapter 13. This is my last scripture, I promise. I was talking to Jason up there. I said, you know, I average between 12 and 15 scriptures. Not too bad today. There we go. Y'all, like Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. This is the kicker. Put your seatbelts on and keep smiling. This is Paul, and he's writing to Christians, believers, followers of Jesus. He says, owe no one anything except to love one another. What? Owe no one anything except to love one another, right? Right? Owe no one anything except to love one another, all right? For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. What? Love one another? Yep. Okay, so you're probably going to have a moment today to love one another and fulfill the law. We're going to have our communion fellowship potluck dinner, and somebody's going to cut in line where you thought you were standing and get the best food. There's so much food, it's ridiculous, but that's all right. Okay, or you put your water cup in the table, down on the table, and then you went up and they took your seat. Ugh. You will have a moment to say, it's okay, I love you, right? Okay? I don't want to, but I'm going to love, right? Or this. This happened to a friend of mine who's a pastor. Crack me up. Anybody have that neighbor? You just wanted to tell him a few things. This is a true story. Change names here. Okay. So my neighbor, my friend who's a pastor, had moved into this neighborhood. He has two little kids of 4 and 6 years old, and they're out in the backyard, and there's a fence that divides their yard from the neighbor's yard. And they're little kids, and they're tossing the ball, and then they're like, and this went on, okay, you know, for weeks. And occasionally, you know, the neighbor would return the ball, but every once in a while that's what the neighbor did. And my friend, who's a pastor, said, I just wanted to give him a piece of my mind and tell him a few things. Oh, yeah, that's right, you're the pastor. No, you're a believer, and you need to love, right? Love. Love him. And he said, he eventually, you know, he just loved him. He just smiled at him. That's okay. Yeah. And he said, eventually, the guy just got really sweet. He did. He got sweet, all right? Now, if you're that cranky old guy neighbor, stop it. Because you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay? Okay. So, owe no one anything except to love. So what did he have to do to that guy? Love him. And you know, if you love and you love and you love, and this is the word of God. This isn't me. This isn't me going like this. Love never fails. It will melt that person's heart. it will melt that person's heart. Sometimes you're like, well, I just want to give them a piece of my mind. You need your mind. Just leave your peace over here, okay? Just you know, I'm sitting here thinking, you're just really silly. Okay, so where were we? Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love, for he who loves has fulfilled the law. Now, verse 9, he starts going to the Ten Commandments. You know the law? Okay, listen. And for the commandment said, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, no liars, pants on fire. You shall not covet, I want something you have. And if there's any other commandment, it's all summed up in this saying. Ready? Okay, so all the commandments are summed up in this. Ready? You shall, come on, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, you might be thinking, they're not my neighbor. I don't even like them. Matter of fact, I hate them. And they're not my neighbors, so I'm not going to do it. It's not talking about neighbor like they live next door. It's talking about people. Okay, so you're out of that excuse. All right, verse 10, here we go. Love does no harm to a neighbor, any person. Therefore, love is fulfilled in the law. All right, guys, we should be the people that are overboard on love. I'm working on it. Okay, I tell you all the time, I am in the driving in the car, and there's this slow car in front of me, and then I finally pass them, and then I go, oh, it's some old person, you know, and then the Lord tells me, by the way, my birthday's Friday, I will be 70, he goes, you're an old person too, so be nice, love them. Okay, so we continually do this in our life, because we will live and talk and reflect Jesus, amen? Okay. As Christ followers, we love big. Matter of fact, crazy love. And that there's this book written by Francis Chan, came out, oh gosh, at least 15 years ago. It's called Crazy Love. He's now written it, and I have it, and you can borrow it. You can do it in small group. It's got the little video you press, and then it's got questions. But you talk about challenge to walk in crazy love. He just gives great stories, all right? But guys, we should have crazy love to people that we meet, right? So what does love mean, the word? Well, Jesus uses this word. Well, there's four different words for love, but the kicker, and you're going to write this down, is agape. And I found out you're supposed to say agapeo. I was like, all right, agape. Sounds better, okay? So Jesus used the word agape, and it is the highest level that you can love. It's the highest level, all right? And here's the thing about the highest level. The highest level of love gives and expects nothing in return. Well, no, you should write that. That's the post-it note on the mirror for the week. The highest level of love gives and expects nothing in return. So when God said in John 3:16, for God so loved, agape, the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever would believe in him should not perish but have every everlasting life. What did God do? He agaped you. He gave Jesus to you, and he didn't expect anything in return. Y'all looking at me? Smiling. Okay. So there are going to be times, I have been really blessed, but there are going to be times you might have that neighbor, okay? And some of you probably tell stories, and we are going to love them. There are going to be times in your marriage where you're going to give love and get nothing back, and you're going to give love and get nothing back, and you're going to give love and get nothing back, okay? There's going to be times with your kids, the day they're born, you are going to give your sleep and your money and da-da-da-da. Okay, you're going to give to your kids, and it looks like you get nothing back. And then one day you get old and smart and have your own kids, and you go, dang, my parents were geniuses. What? Okay, you might hear that where they go, Mom, you were right, okay? So you are going to love and expect nothing in return. Do I want to get something in return? Yes! Be honest. Sure I do. But really, we are going to love like Jesus loved and expect nothing in return. All right? Pastor D, how long should I love? Oh, good question. Okay. Jesus got asked that question. And it shows up two different places in the gospel, and it's two different ways he answers it. Okay? So the disciples come to him. Now, I said love, but listen to what the question is, because it really has this. Disciples come to him and say, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? You know, when somebody is not walking in love, you're going to be doing forgiving, right? So they go, Jesus, how many times should I forgive? And Jesus says, 7 times. Oh, 7? I can do 7. Yeah, I'm tough. I can do 7. Okay, and then higher standard, come on. In another place, he says, I want you to love 70 times 7. And if you're not good in math, 490 times. 490 times. Okay, this is the kicker. In one day. You know, I'm counting on my mom, my wife's doing it. No. Okay, but then there's that person at work. And you go, man, I gotta forgive them again and again and again. Really, seriously, they're almost at the 490. Okay? Anybody have any of those people in your life? Do not point them out, okay? So what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say when people they're making you mad. Come on. They're doing things wrong. He gives you this ridiculous number and he says, I want you to forgive them. Ridiculous. Okay. So what do we need to do? Forgive and love. Forgive them and love them. Okay. So, question. Is there someone here, not really here in the room, but is there someone here in your life, okay, a person or people that you're thinking, I need to love them? Everybody close your eyes. Don't look at me. I'm like it. Okay. Because if we love the way God loves, we will expect nothing in return, and I am still going to love you, okay? And if you want to melt your spouse's heart, you love them the way Jesus loved them, 490 times, right? Okay? So we're going to take a moment. So everybody, please don't leave. Don't live yet. Please live. Don't leave, because you're going to walk in love. Yeah, listen, okay. Who's that person or people right now that you think of and you go, okay, God, I need to love them. I have not been loving them. I've been not loving to my kids. I've been not loving to my husband or not loving to my wife or whoever. God, I need to make an adjustment in my heart. So that's the question. Here's the next part of that question. How can I better treat people? How can I better treat them like Jesus said, like Paul said? How can I better treat people? How can I love people like Jesus said? Okay, just close your eyes, all right? Now, when we started the message, we said the law, good or bad, okay? And we found out the law really helps people have a moral compass. You take that law out, you're seeing it. Okay, so the law is good. It gives us a moral compass, okay? But we fulfill the law by loving people, all right? What if your wife is just being real snippy at you? Don't look at her, raise your hand, or point them out. You're going to love her. What if your husband shaves every day, and there's those little hairs in the sink and all over the counter, and he's such a slob, and he never cleans it up? All right, what does love say? Forgive them, love them, teach them again. Okay. Who is it that you need to love? So just, you know, get quiet, just search your heart. Who is it you need to love? Okay, so Father, we come to you, we come into your throne room. And Father, if there's people that we need to love, that we've been not loving in our actions, in our words, I thank you, Lord, just bring their face to ours. And Lord, right now, first off, we ask you to forgive us that we've walked out of love. Forgive us because we want to fulfill the law. We want to be great in your kingdom. We want to be people of love. So Lord, we just come into your presence and we open our hearts and we say, Lord, help us. Help us to love. Thank you for your grace because it empowers us, but Lord, help us. And you said the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The day you received Jesus, the God kind of love has filled your hearts, okay? So, Lord, help us to love better. Lord, we stand in your presence and we ask for your help. Ask us to just help us adjust our hearts, our lives, our words, so that we love crazy love, because we are the bridge to a world that needs Jesus so they can forever know you. So, Lord, we desire to be a bridge. Amen. Amen, amen. You know, those are one of those things you should do at night also before you go to bed. Lord, search my heart. You know, just keep it clean. Okay. So I always say this is probably the most important part of the message. I'm going to give two invitations. I want to ask everybody, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? So I'm not asking, do you attend church regularly? I'm not asking if you grew up in a Christian home or went to Christian school in York, okay? I'm not even asking if you've been baptized. Those are all good things. Those are good things, okay? But those are things. And if we could, Jesus would have written a whole list of things, but we're not saved by works. You don't come into a relationship with Jesus by works. It's simply by saying, Jesus, I need you. I realize I'm a sinner and I'm far from you. And I realize that you are the only way to the Father. It's through and by you. So I'm asking this question. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, the Bible says, today's the day. Harden not your hearts. And it's real simple. Whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. So that's my first invitation. My second invitation is, and this one, you know, sometimes you'll say, you know, Pastor D, I did. I prayed. I remember praying that prayer at youth camp, or I remember praying that prayer downstairs or a couple years ago, and I asked Jesus Christ in my life, and I was walking good. And then just life hit, and then I just got away. And I got away, and years went by, and I'm far from God. Well, I'm going to say good, because today's a good day to come back. How do you come back to God? You just say, God, forgive me. I've been away. I've put you out in the lower 40. And today I want you in my life, present in my life. Okay, so those are my two invitations. And I'm just going to ask you now just to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you'd like to receive Jesus for the first time, or it's time just to say, you know, I'm just tired. I'm tired of living my life without him. Then I want you to pray this prayer with me. So everybody can pray this with them. If you've prayed this before, pray this out loud. You just pray it so you can hear it. Just pray it and mean it from your heart. Okay, so one, I want to recommit my life. Or two, I want to ask Jesus into my life. Say this, just say this after me, okay? Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross, he took my punishments, he paid my sin debt, he did it for me, and he rose from the dead. Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart, to come into my life, as my Lord, as my Savior, and I will follow you all the days of my life. And I thank you. I am your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Woohoo! Best part of the day. Amen. Amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we would love to give you a Bible. Okay, nothing. We're not going to ask you to do something crazy. Okay, we're going to give you a Bible. Typically, we usually have you come up front, but lots are going on. So, my altar ministers, could you go in the bookstore? Joe, could you open the bookstore? They're going to meet you in there. Okay, then they'll pray with you. If you want prayer for anything, we're going to pray in the bookstore. Right now, I have somebody who's going to give directions. Here we go.